did Jesus Christ reveal himself to first when he rose from the dead? He didn't reveal himself to the high priests, who were incidentally the moral kings of the day. They did everything right. Everything on the outside was polished up and shined to a glorious sheen, and yet inside full of dead men's bones. Ah, he revealed himself to, what did we call her at the end of yesterday's show? Intimate services coordinator, Mary Magdalene, otherwise known as a sinner, I think, in that era. And yet Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners, and he was actually accused of being a tippler, as the King James would say, wine bibber, I think the Concordant. He was accused of being a drunk and really not a nice person. His moral character was called into question. The moral character of the Lord Jesus Christ was called into question because of the company he kept.
Think about it, Martin.
Unbelievable.
Think about it. The scripture says that the word appeared before them, and yet they didn't what? Recognize him.
Right.
Why? What was operating in their being that was off kilter? Which Paul says,
spirit of religion, the spirit of the age, the spirit of the world.
It ultimately goes back to what we've been talking about the last three shows, which was it two or three?
I don't know.
The alienation of the mind needs to be renewed.
I wish I would have found that verse in Romans. If a man thinks it's a sin, it is a sin. There's a verse like that in Romans. We'll have to find that. But
isn't it Paul in the Corinthians?
I don't know. I thought it was in Romans.
Yeah, it could be.
We'll find it. But it's this idea someday of whatever is defiled to you in your mind. If you have a defiled mind, then everything will be defiled. You'll see everything wrong if your mind is inclined to see everything wrong.
Yeah.
But if your mind is inclined to see all things clean, Paul says, to the clean, all things are clean. And so it does have to do with your apprehensions.
Yeah, it has to do with making sure that your mind, that your lens, the lens you're looking through, the religious system's lens is polluted. It doesn't see through it properly, and so it sees the world not reconciled. But Paul says in verse 21, yet now he what has reconciled. In God's mind, the ultimate reality. Guys, I got nothing against you. I was sharing with you, Martin, the other day. I was on Grand Manan, and I go out to the Whistle, which is a very famous spot there, and it's about 9 miles off the coast of Maine and 17 miles off the coast of New Brunswick, Canada, where I've lived the last 5 years. And I was out there to have some alone time. I was retreating, if you will. And this woman was sitting in a vehicle, and she came over, and I shared with her. She was trying to indoctrinate me into her, quote, religion, and she was very aggressive, which was very disturbing for me. And she was I actually showed her in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, where Paul says in that second letter to the Corinthians, guys, God is holding no sin against any man. Some versions will water that down, which they tend to do because they're biased, and they say trespasses, and that sort of misses the mark, if you will. It misses the mark. But when Paul says, he actually, the New Inconsistent, actually gets it right, and it says sins. God is holding no sin against any man. When you tell that to people in the religious establishment, this totally obliterates the foundation of their system.
Well, of course,
because
they make their living off sin.
Yeah, they have a sin consciousness.
Right.
And this sin mind, this is the lens which they look through.
That's a great term, sin consciousness. Because when Jesus Christ saw these, when he saw the tax collector, Matthew, or when he saw Mary Magdalene, he didn't see, he wasn't sin conscious. He saw through, you know what, I like to call this the reverse whitewashed sepulcher syndrome, because the Pharisees were polished and clean on the outside. Inside, they were distended with envy, jealousy, pride. These other people, the ones that hung out in the bars and the strip clubs and the tax collector's office, they were definitely rough on the outside. And yet, I call it the reverse whited sepulcher syndrome, because it was the opposite of the Pharisees. They were a little rough on the outside, and yet on the inside, they were pure of heart, and they looked for the truth, and they found it when they heard it. The Pharisees, it walked right in front of them, Jesus Christ. They couldn't see it.
But this is the concealment of God, which
the concealment of God.
The concealment of God. we are very, very seduced, and we are very, very attracted to the outer. But yes, the kingdom of God is where?
Is within you.
It's within you. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And in Proverbs 25:2, which this is where we were going to start, but I want to make a reference to Hebrews chapter 10 as well.
Because please do.
When you say the word consciousness or conscience, conscious, people immediately are drawn to the quote, they're talking New Age here.
Yeah, right.
No, no.
Right.
Do you know in the book of Hebrews, it actually talks about sin consciousness? It actually uses in most of the translation the word consciousness.
Let's go there.
Let's go there. It talks about having a sin consciousness. If you go to Hebrews chapter 9 and you start, we probably need to go back and start at verse 13. And it's talking about the blood of bulls and goats and the high priest that we have.
Right.
The reason why you, quote, don't need a pastor, CEO, or a priest to confess your sins to is because you have a high priest. And if he ain't enough, nothing's enough.
Amen.
Okay. But it says there, but I'm going to need to read a little bit of this, but it says, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. This is verse 11. With greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, the most holy place, once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption.
Of course, the concordance says aeonian redemption.
Aeonian redemption, right. Yes. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal or aeonian spirit, offered himself without spot or wrinkle to what? To God. To cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, to cleanse your conscience. And Martin, you and I were talking at breakfast about, remember, we're starting with the mind here and the alienation of the mind.
Right.
Okay, how we need to have our mind renewed to God's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the religious systems of the world have a sin conscious mind. When they look through the lens of their mind, they see the world, quote, missing the mark, and they have a God who's angry. They do not understand the reconciliation of all things that God has done in Christ, through Christ. And they go, well, sin's in the camp. We got to punish that. We got to deal with that. And God's like, no, you're looking through the wrong mind. You see, when the blood of bulls and goats was put on the altar, who did it cleanse? How many did it cleanse? All of them.
Mm-hmm.
This was the blood of bulls and goats. The writer of the Hebrews says, how much more the blood of Christ will cleanse your conscience, your alienated mind. So when you see Jesus on that cross, Martin, the religious system sees a Jesus on that cross there to pay the penalty for man's sin and saying, Father, beat me up. Don't beat them up. But the writer of Leviticus, which was Moses, says, no, the blood's on the altar for your alienated mind. God's mind is fine.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with God's mind.
Right.
God's mind loves us unconditionally forever. It can never fail. It will always be loving towards us. Now, when the carnal mind, though, looks through that lens, it sees Jesus on that cross and it sees the atonement, which is a big word, but it sees that as that blood was for God. Now, people won't admit to this.
To appease God's anger.
As
if God is punishing Christ because he's really upset and he's punishing Christ because he can't get to you.
There's nothing wrong with God's mind. God's mind is perfect.
Right. Christ was a love offering.
It's our mind that needs to see the blood. There's something about seeing. See, the soul is in the blood. This is one of the things that even us who have been called out of the camp and we have studied, this is something that we're still trying to grasp. The life is in the blood.
The soul
is in the blood, yeah. And when we see that blood, it does something to our mind. Even the blood of the bulls and goats, you know why that is? And this is where we're going with the concealment issue, okay? This is where we're going. In Proverbs 25:2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. God hides things.
Doesn't he ever?
He hid Jesus.
He's hiding us.
He hid Jesus to the carnal mind. Now, the carnal mind, it wants to promote. It's very fascinated by the bright lights. This is why in the religious system, the bigger the building, the brighter the lights, the more flashy, the more bigger names, the more the music is loud. This is going to attract people because they're stimulated. That's what the carnal mind does. It's like, rah, let's do this. Yes, yes, yes. But God is humble and God is mild. And even when he announced Jesus, he did it to the shepherds. And this is where we're going to talk about with Judas. Do we have time?
Yeah, did we do that thing with the shepherds before that he revealed himself to these lowly men out in the field? They saw this angelic manifestation at night.
At night.
And Nicodemus.
Who would ever believe them?
One of the greatest truths to Christianity quotes John 3:16. That was revealed to one priest who came to Jesus by stealth at night.
At night.
Right? Because he didn't want to be seen by his, you know, fellow priests.
Yep.
Right.
And Jesus did that to the shepherds at night.
He did it to the shepherds at night.
And you know what he did?
What?
You know why he did that?
Why?
Because the shepherds were the lowliest of the people.
That's
and
right.
If they went and said, God appeared to us, they would say, you are... dude, God did not appear to you.
God must be doing something
with this sheep dung out
there.
Right. Because God did not appear to you.
And God consistently does that.
We have the phylacteries. We have the tassels.
Right.
God appears to us. That's God tripping up the carnal mind. And it is his glory to appear to those who we would least think that he would appear to. And this, we're probably going to have to do this the next show. But
yeah.
This is what he did with Judas.
Yeah,
Judas was
yeah.
fascinated with the miracles that Jesus did. And mm-hmm. what was Judas' role as one of the 12 disciples? What was his role? What office did he have?
He kept the money.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, good. He also, you know, this is all about confounding the wisdom of of the mind. And when Christ was on the cross, who could see the wisdom of God? Yet Paul says that the cross was the wisdom and the righteousness of God manifest, and yet it was so hid. What kind of spiritual vision did you have to see a dying man on the most hideous manner of death that man has ever devised, to see the wisdom and power of God in that moment? It took anointed vision, and I don't know if anybody saw it
at
the time.
Well, where was he crucified? What was the
Greek
name?
Outside the camp.
What was the Hebrew name for the place?
The place of the skull.
The Golgotha.
Yeah.
There's a hidden message in that. The place of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
Religion always crucifies Christ in the mind. You can't put him on the cross again, the Hebrews writer says. It's
right.
done. It's an eternal redemption. It's done. But religion keeps in their mind crucifying him at the place of the skull. Where does it happen? It happens in the mind where Christ is crucified. It always murders the Christ in the mind. It always, this is where it always happens. Are you seeing this? What I'm
saying? I love it. Yeah.
It,
of course
it's always murders Christ. Christ is always killed in the mind. And this is why Paul says you are alienated in your own minds. This is why the blood was shed for your minds. It's your consciousness or your conscience that is the problem. God's mind is the ultimate reality. It sees everything recognized. It's finished, brother. He sees it done. Now, next show, we're going to have to talk about the carnal mind that Judas possessed that God and God used to set up. And we're going to talk about the shepherds, we're going to talk about miracles, and what you need to name that show is Hide and Seek.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking into the renewal of the mind, not the removal of the mind. This is consistent with our message. It's consistent with the Apostle Paul to apprehend these things, and we're not going to hide from them. We're going to take these things head on as we're doing. This show's blessing the daylights out of me. I trust it's blessing you, and we're going to be back and do more of the same tomorrow. Thanks for listening.